Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN with this question. What do you do when your dog gets skunked or your cat has an accident outside the box? I'll have those answers, but first, she's back. Well, you probably didn't even know she was gone. Pam Johnson Bennett, queen of cat behavior on WGN. We're talking about her latest book of 714. How many books have you written, Pam?
I have 8 cat behavior books.
I was close. Close.
This one is a redo. It's revised and updated, so it's more information.
And it's called Cat versus Cat. It's about cats getting along with one another. And it's important, friends, because most people at some point in time are going to add another cat to their household. Either you have 3 cats, say, now, and one cat passes away, or very often what happens, I don't know how cats know this, but they find you. And they adopt you, and suddenly that cat is in your house. So let's say you go to an animal shelter, Pam, and you say, that's the cat for me. Or the cat goes row, 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 outside the door, and it's getting colder out because we're in Chicago, and it does get colder, and you bring that cat in. What are some of the first things that you should, or let me rephrase that, what are some of the things that you must do?
Well, you want to make sure your resident cat does not feel put out because your resident cat had the run of the house. Everything was his. So bring that new cat in and put him in a separate room. I call it a sanctuary room or a safe room where he has all his stuff, his litter box, his food bowl, his toys and everything. And you let him get his bearings because this is unfamiliar territory for him. And then it helps you bond with him a little bit. And it's also letting your resident cat know that not everything in his territory has been taken away. And then you do a very slow introduction. And this is where a lot of people make a mistake. They open that door and they have the cats meet because they think, just like with dogs, well, they'll just be friends instantly and they'll work it out. Whatever fighting they do, they'll work it out. But that's the worst thing you can do. That can set them up to be enemies for life. You want to do a very gradual introduction where you give them a reason to like each other. It's basically bribery. The only time they see each other, they get something positive, and you always end on a positive note.
Do they even need to at first see one another? So the process you're talking about takes not days or weeks. It takes a while, doesn't it?
Everything is individual. You know, your neighbor might have introduced cats in a week and they're best friends, but it might take you 3 months. Every cat is an individual, and you go at the pace of the most stressed out cat. So if one of the cats is anxious and excited to meet the newcomer, but the newcomer isn't ready, then you go at the pace of the newcomer. But they don't have to see each other at first. In fact, that's a little too overwhelming. What you want to do is help them just know that there's somebody on the other side of the door. So one of the things I do is I feed the cats on opposite sides of the door and not right next to the door. It might be on the wall opposite the door just so that they know something's going on, but they're getting a treat. And then I take a sock, a clean sock, and I rub a cat down around the mouth to get the facial pheromones, and I drop that sock in the other cat's territory, just in a neutral area, not near the litter box or the food bowl or the bed. And then that way that cat can kind of sniff those pheromones, and then I always reward the cat for any introduction, any behavior I want to see again. So if the cat walks by the sock and doesn't hiss or growl, I treat him. In fact, I do clicker training, so I'll click and reward. If he sniffs the sock, I treat him. If he tears the sock to smithereens, I just leave him alone. That just lets me know, okay, we're not going to have an introduction done in 4 days. This is going to take longer.
Yeah.
But that way they get to know each other. They get something positive, but we're keeping each cat safe. So you just take baby steps through the process, and it's worth the work to do it to guarantee a lifetime of friendship. If you rush it, you'll set yourself back, and that's not fair to the cats.
Yeah, it's not fair to anybody. You know what? When you wrote the original Cat versus Cat, this is the update of that book, so many of products that we're about to talk about weren't even thought about. I mean, they weren't available. They didn't exist. Now you have, you mentioned appropriately, rubbing something against the cat's cheek pads and depositing those pheromones with whatever it is, a clean rag or whatever it is, and you leave that out. But there's a product that does that for us now called Feel Away. There's also a product that is called Feel Away Multicat, which takes a different pheromone fraction. There are a variety of nutritional supplements out there that also lower anxiety. What do you think of all these products?
I think everything that you can do is just a piece of the puzzle that might make a difference. So, you know, Feel Away, it's like if it's in the budget, you know, it may not be in the budget, so you just do the sock with the facial pheromones. But if it's in the budget, it can't hurt. You've got nutritional supplements. There's calming music for cats.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
So I feel, why not do all of that to increase your chances? Because you never know what might be the one thing that just lowers the volume enough on the stress that makes a difference. But the most important thing, don't use these things as an excuse not to do the correct behavior work. They are all tools in the toolbox to assist you doing the behavior work necessary to help the cats feel that their resources are safe, the other cat is not a threat. So you're going from a cat thinking, oh my gosh, I hate you, this is terrible, and we're working up the scale to, maybe you're not so bad. All right, you can live here, just don't cause me any trouble. To maybe, hey, we could be best friends. But you don't go from, I hate you, to we could be best friends right away. You have to work up that scale slowly.
So in cats, it's about feeling comfortable in their environment. It's about feeling that I have some control. It's about feeling I have enough resources for me. What resources do cats need, and how many resources? Let's say we have three cats in the house. So let's talk litter boxes and toys and scratching post and maybe anything else you could think of.
Right. It's not only the number, it's the location. So if you have three cats, pay attention to making sure they each have their own core areas in addition to the social areas. So maybe one cat really likes to spend a lot of time in your bedroom. One cat maybe loves being in the living room. So you situate resources in core areas so one cat doesn't have to cross another cat's area if they don't want to. So let's say you have three cats, you should have at least four litter boxes, so that a cat has a choice. And choice is a big word in the cat world. If a cat has a choice, you've lowered their stress. If he doesn't have a choice, that's when he starts to get upset. So four litter boxes, three of them in the core areas, one maybe in a neutral area, so that cat feels comfortable being able to use the litter box. Feeding stations, if all cats get along, maybe they can all eat in one room like the kitchen, but maybe they don't get along because cats aren't social eaters. So maybe it's three food bowls on opposite sides of the room in the kitchen, or maybe it's two or three different feeding stations. Then you have scratching posts. More scratching posts than you have cats. Situate them around. Pay attention to preferences. One cat might like a sisal post. Another cat might like a horizontal corrugated cardboard post. Other resources include things you wouldn't think about, like perches, elevated locations, beds. You're a resource. You're a source of affection and obviously a source of feeding. So make sure each cat gets time with you in the way they like.
Well, Pam, this is all great information, and there's much more than we ever could have time to talk about on the radio in the book Cat versus Cat. I don't think, with all the 4,812 times I've interviewed you, and maybe it's been that many, I've ever asked you this question. Why cats? What is it about cats that appeals to you the most?
I think they are perfect. And I don't mean that with the pun, but you can include that.
Sure.
They are the combination of intelligence, elegance, grace, efficiency, affection. They're the whole package. And the thing that I find fascinating after doing behavior for over, 37 years, I still am learning. There's so much I don't know. And I find them fascinating.
When you first began doing what you do, and when I first began doing what I do, it at that point in time, people, I think, thought differently of cats than they do today. I think cats have come a long way. They were always the most popular, not always, 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 but for decades, they've been more popular than dogs. That's just the truth in pure numbers. But it seems that more and more people are beginning to really give their love to cats. And I think it's being led by, in fact, there's data to demonstrate, this is all being led by people like you, millennials.
Oh, yeah, I am a millennial. Thank
sure.
you. I love you. years ago, even though cats were popular, they weren't treated right. They weren't viewed correctly. You know, they were untrainable, antisocial, solitary animals. That's how we labeled them. And we punished them for things. You know, we declawed them. We squirted them with water. We did all kinds of things without understanding what drove their behavior. Now people, because there's more behavior out there, more knowledge, more behaviorists, people are starting to understand them, and cats are beginning to be treated the way they deserve now. And that's, we still have a long way to go, but we need to provide enrichment, we need to understand what motivates their behavior and provide what they need. And you'll have a better relationship with your cat if you do that.
Yeah, and I think people still sometimes, I think the best ambassador for cats are cats. So if you get a cat, it will completely change the way you have previously thought about cats. Cat versus Cat, that's the name of the book from the queen of cat behavior, Pam Johnson Bennett. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Steve.
Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. Dr. Laura Halpert of Fresh Wave is the Director of Research and Development. And I remember, Dr. Halpert, it was recently, really, just 5 or 6 or 7 years ago, where people would write me or call on the radio and say, my dog's been skunked. And this is the time of year, actually, when that happens most often, or we're moving into that time of year when it does happen the most often. And I had like an 8-step process, and it included tomato juice and vinegar and all these other things. And in the middle, I'd say, grab a clothespin that's to put on your nose and then go to the movies because it's going to take a while. See a double feature. It doesn't have to be that way anymore, does it?
No, it doesn't. And thank you for having me. Skunks, you know, they're terrible. And they let off these chemicals called mercaptans. There's like 3 of them that are really quite pungent that come out of skunks. And the bad thing about mercaptans is even at a really low concentration, you can still smell them. So when your dog gets skunked, it's usually head on and you're getting a big concentration of those chemicals on the dog. But as you clean your dog, and as you said before, you usually have like all these techniques you have to use because that concentration, even at a low amount, still really smells. So for Fresh Wave, what we came up with is our Fresh Wave dog shampoo. So this shampoo is formulated to wash a dog at any time, but it has odor-removing essential oils in it that will attack the mercaptans, and they actually react with them and neutralize the odor through the chemical reactions that take place. It's safe to use. All of our dog formulations have been reviewed by vets, but they do work, and they remove those mercaptans off of your dog's skin. And you might have to do it twice, but that's what we typically found from owners because, like I said before, no matter what, that concentration that's on there, those mercaptans is so high. You have to, like, the first wash through gets most of them, and the second just nails it. And then your room smells too, right? Because no matter what, that skunk probably just ran through your house to get to the bathroom, or not the skunk, the dog that smells like a skunk. Ran through your house, so that's where we would use our new pet odor-removing spray, and you could spray that around your house to get that extra skunk odor out.
And it's amazing the way, you know, it sounds like I'm doing a commercial here, but I mean, it's important because I will tell you, for people, raise your hand, if your dog's been skunked, you know what I'm talking about. And I would get these emails or these, back in the day, snail mail letters or telephone calls on this show saying, my dog was skunked. My house smells. And I'll say, well, how did that happen? Well, 3 weeks ago, and they'll begin to tell, 3 weeks ago, and it still smells, you know? So the fact that we can do something using today's technology that's clearly safe for the dog, but also really works. I mean, I can go through a litany of issues, you know, and yeah, the hound dog smell and all that. And that's important. But I'll tell you, getting skunk stink out of a house has always been a challenge, both off the dog. And as you mentioned, and you're right, if the dog's running through the house and jumping on the sofa on the way and who knows what else, the whole house smells and the kids are petitioning to move out, you know. I mean, it's that bad, you know. So it's wonderful that I'm excited because it is a matter of quality of life, not so much for the dog, but the people that live with the dog. But I mentioned that hound dog smell or the dog that goes outside and rolls in the mud and then jumps on the sofa. Is there something that we can do about that? Or the biggest problem of all? Of all, are cats that think outside the litter box. And well, no product is going to direct them back to the box because there's always a reason why they're doing it. Nevertheless, we don't want our house to smell like cat urine. What's more, cats or dogs will go back to a place that smells like where they piddled. So it's important not only for you and your sanity, but important for a behavior reason to really have a product that works. So can you address all those issues?
Yep, I'll knock them all out. So the first one, the hound dog issue. So that typically, or your dog going outside and getting rolling around. I used to have one that loved to roll around in the mud and came in and just smelled terrible. So what happens with that is the odors are created in the dog's skin or they get on the dog's skin from outside. Usually when they're just on the skin in general, it's from like microorganisms that are making volatile organic compounds or VOCs. And then they're slowly released off the dog hair, especially if a dog's wet, like that horrible wet dog smell.
Yep.
That comes because as the water evaporates off, the VOCs come off with it. They're easily removed from the hair by the water. And a ton of different chemical compounds actually make up all those smells. And it's not like one chemical is what's really doing it. It's the combination of these chemicals that do it. And there's like, you know, the technical side of this is there's aldehydes, there's sulfur compounds, there's phenolic compounds. All of those compounds together is what's making that dog smell that way. So there are a couple of solutions for it. Like you could wash your dog. So we have the Fresh Wave dog shampoo again that you could use to help your dog with that regard. But in your house, if you're like, well, I just, you know, I already washed my dog or I don't want to bathe my dog again because it might dry out their skin, then the solution is to use our, on your furniture and around, or your dog bedding would be to use our new pet odor removing spray, which was specifically designed to get pet odors. And it works by grabbing onto the odors in the air. It absorbs them. It holds on to them. And then it neutralizes them through acid-based reactions and gets rid of them. And you can spray that spray anywhere that is water safe. So if you can't put water on it, don't put this on it because it is a water-based product.
Mm-hmm.
And then as for like the cats, so the key with the cats is first you have to clean up the mess. So whether the cat pees litter box, you have to clean it up. But the same idea with cats, like when cats pee, they release amino acids in their urine and a couple other chemicals. And those amino acids break down with time and turn into smellier compounds that are sulfur-based. That gives that real normal like cat pee odor that has that like horrible musty smell to it. That's what's doing it. So the same idea works for the Fresh Wave product here. Like the plant oils that are in this, so these are natural plant oils or essential oils, as a lot of people like to call them. The ones that are in here are designed to go after these sulfury compounds and can grab that molecule and neutralize it, and then the odor's gone.
How important is it when the cat piddles and you find it, or actually a puppy has a mistake, same question, to blot it up rather than kind of rub it in, which is what our tendency is?
Yeah, it is really important. You don't want to get it stuck into the carpet fibers at all. That's a I would say a rookie mistake, but it's not really. It's what you just normally associate when you see a spill on the ground. You want to just rub it in, but it's more important to blot it and get as much of it up as possible. And then for our sake, it would be to then spray the odor-removing product around it or near it or on it.
Okay, perfect. Doctor, I have one more question for you. What are you a doctor of? What you talk very fancy here. I mean, you know these big words, and it's because you studied all this. What do you study, though, in school? Is there a degree in animal smells?
So I have my PhD in chemistry that I got from Purdue University, and then I've been working with Freshwave for over 8 years. It's been a very exciting career path for me, and I've gotten to do a lot of research on odors in general and pet odors, especially with being on like the head of developing this new pet odor removing spray. It's been really exciting because this isn't your normal air freshener. This is like Freshwave reinvented the air freshener. These are using natural plant oils. Freshwave was green before anybody else was green, and before it was cool to be green, we always have been. And like for me, it's just been an awesome experience to get to do this here.
All right, excellent. Well, thank you. Thank Freshwave for helping out pets. Dr. Laura Halpert of Freshwave, thank you.
Thank you.
You won't believe what Germany is planning to do to protect dogs, but are they going too far? Next. Imagine going to jail for not walking your dog twice a day for a half hour each time. Some canine advocates in Germany are barking with joy. Others are growling. They don't like the idea of this new proposed German law mandating walking dogs twice a day, 30 minutes each walk. I mean, how can they possibly enforce such a thing? I have no clue. I mean, does someone have, you know, they actually have now a way to track your dog's steps? Are they going to be watching at police departments how far your dog walks? I mean, how in the world? You know, I like the general notion. I mean, certainly we're not walking our dogs enough. The most enriching thing you can do for your dog is actually taking your dog for a walk. But what if it's raining and storming outside? What if it's snowing out and you have a little Italian greyhound dog? Or what if you yourself are 117 years old and really can't walk your dog twice a day or once a day? Maybe you can have someone else do that. Maybe what you want to do now, if you're a professional dog walker and you don't have a lot of work here, go to Germany, because apparently there's going to be work. I don't think this will pass, but I like the notion that our dogs aren't getting enough exercise. Maybe it will pass. I don't know. Again, how in the heck could this ever be enforced? As a part of this greater law, they plan on a tethering law, which will prevent people from tethering their dogs, which I am all for. And they also want to make sure that puppy mills disappear. And I guess I buried the lead there, because that's the most important part of all this. They plan to have breeders breed no more than 3 litters at any one time. And again, the object there is to reduce the number of litters. Puppy mills, of course, it's a litter after litter after litter, many litters going at once. And they call them puppy farms in Germany, apparently. And they want to put an end to all that, as do I. So that I am all in on. We'll talk to you next week on Steve Dale's Pet World.